Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast, presents episode 721, Poncho Dirt, recorded live on February 20th, 2020. Hello everyone, welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I am your host, Deathstorm.
And I am your co-host, Godzilla T.
And we don't have a guest today.
For once. Imagine that.
But we'll have guests next week. Yay!
Now let's see if we can get it done in the next hour and a half.
Yes, because we had to start a little late tonight.
Sorry.
Nah, it's okay. So we got our normal housekeeping stuff. Why don't we go ahead and get through some of that? So, starting off with Fragging Friday.
Well, it was a pretty short one because we didn't have one.
That's right. Because it was Valentine's Day.
Because it was Valentine's Day here in the U.S.
Yep.
For those of you that were looking forward to, I did see some people trying to get a lobby together. I don't know if they actually did, but I hope everybody had a wonderful weekend. And if you celebrated Valentine's Day, I hope you enjoyed your evening with your significant other. Me and my wife stood in line for an hour and 15 minutes waiting for a table.
Yikes.
The sad part is we got there at 3:45.
Whoa. That was a busy day.
No kidding.
We did our dinner for Valentine's Day on Wednesday, and then we went out for dessert on Friday. So we kind of
Usually we'll wait until, you know, that following weekend, then we'll go out and have our Valentine's Day dinner, but we just decided we were going to go out that night. And oh my, I was saying it's 3:00. I shouldn't need to call ahead yet. You know, if we were closer to 5, okay. Yeah. But geez, we got there and their lobby was full. Everybody had the same idea I did.
I guess this was a place that didn't take reservations or.
Well, you can call ahead, but you can only call ahead 30 minutes.
Right.
And the wait was an hour and 15.
So wouldn't have.
Well, yeah, I mean, it would have helped a little bit, but still, you know, I didn't even think that calling ahead would be necessary. I'll know better next time.
The place that we went to actually took reservations for the night, and they don't normally take reservations, but we actually went to the same place on Friday. We went on Wednesday. There's a little place here called Two Rivers, and they have some really good, just kind of normal American fare dish stuff. It's a seafood and steakhouse. So it was pretty nice. The wait for Friday was actually not too bad because we called ahead and we were seated within 5 minutes of when we got
That's good.
To the restaurant.
But lazy's complaining because I'm talking about a holiday made for people with a significant other.
No, 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 no. He said for real people. Let's make this distinction here. He didn't just say for married people or people with significant others. He said for real people. And then he followed that up. We gamers don't know what love is. Only the Konami code.
Sure, you know what love is. You love your games.
There you go.
Cheat codes now.
You've got your joysticks.
Careful.
Let's move on.
This is 18 plus, but you're pushing the limits there.
It's not supposed to be family friendly for the podcast. Oh, I have to update that separately on Mixer. Oops.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
That you have to change. Anyway.
Oops. Anyways. Sunday, we did do achievements. We did some Halo Wars 2, and it was a mix of just multiplayer skirmish, and I think we did a blitz match as well, just to kind of work on a couple of things. But I think it was 3 achievements that we got. Of course, I don't have this up as I should, but we got Let's see. One, two, looks like only two achievements. So not three.
You're slipping.
Well, we're getting close to the end. So we got the rest of the banished units, since I didn't have all those, and then killed 50 units with Cataclysm, which is one of the leader powers for... who's the DLC leader?
Which DLC leader?
For the Awakening of the Nightmare.
Okay.
Decimus.
Okay.
Vorgis or Decimus, one of the two. So did that. More achievements to be had on this coming Sunday, I think. Yeah, I think so. For streamer shout-out, we didn't do anything because my smart home decided to go kaput. So I was troubleshooting that for 6 hours, almost unsuccessfully. Managed to get a few things back on my smart home and still haven't been able to get anything else back on.
Hence the reason I don't have a smart home.
It's useful. I mean,
in some situations, I like having to go over and turn on a switch.
We can still do that. It's just...
I will admit, I do have a smart thermostat, but that's it.
The thing that cued me in to the fact that things were starting to fail is we had it set... We have our thermostat set to key off of another temperature sensor that we have upstairs, because the difference between upstairs and downstairs gets ridiculous for some reason. And I knew something was wrong when I felt really congested and was unusually hot when I was working out on the bike that we have up in the upstairs. And when I came back down, the thermostat was set to 87 because the one temperature sensor was either like it glitched out or a battery went out or something. It said it was negative 418 degrees. So there was obviously something wrong, and that one sensor was the only sensor that was malfunctioning. And it, what it's supposed to do is the thermostat will raise up to try to keep the temperature at a certain point for that sensor.
Yeah.
So as soon as I found that out, I quickly turned off that feature within the smart home and set the thermostat down and just turned it off. It was so hot that once I corrected it, the AC came on.
Yeah.
So I'm like, nope, turn it off. We'll wait 30 minutes and then we'll fix it later.
Yeah.
Anyways. So no streamer shout out. For Machinima Monday, we posted the Sentinel Revelations first episode. We actually got to showcase that trailer at Outpost Philly. Mark was the one from Sentinel Media who was on our panel and presented the trailer. So it's cool to finally see that Machinima out.
Cool.
You can find that over on our website, podtackler.com, for the Machinima Monday spotlight. For our company commendations, we still got a few. I was actually getting quite a few Marine kills this weekend because I got almost 20 games of Warzone Assault in.
Nice.
Yep, trying to do that XP grind, even though I won't get to 152 on time. I'm still trying to get that XP grind.
Well, actually, with some of the stuff that they were just talking about in an upcoming article, it might help you.
It might. It very well might. Not necessarily Assault, but yeah. We'll get to that in a second. Top ones are still killing an opponent that shot you first. We are almost within 1,000 of that. We got another, looks like 1,150 to go there. And then splatters, we have another... Looks like 414 there. Marines and shoulder bashes are still at the bottom. Shoulder bashes are going to be such a pain. I mean, Marines are a pain, but shoulder bash is just... Ugh.
Yeah, we're making some pretty good progress on assassinating Spartans.
We are.
We're down to under... we're down under 500 to go now.
Mm-hmm. I find the best way to do the shoulder bash is SWAT.
Mm-hmm.
Just run around and run into people as you see them. So if anyone wants to SWAT up a lobby, there you go. And then we actually we have a little Tales from the Foxhole channel on our Discord, if you guys aren't aware. And we actually have a couple of, I'll call them submissions, to that channel, which I've been neglecting for the past month. So I'm going to read through those. This first one is from Fuchs, back from December 29th. He says, 2 or 3 weeks ago, we mashed into a BTB Reach game with Nated, of all people. I stream sniped him the entire time because I'm that person. Kind of felt bad for him, though, because our team was way more coordinated and his team was betraying him for the sniper. Guess the name doesn't mean anything anymore. So you were stream sniping him and then his teammates were betraying him for the sniper.
Yeah. Really? I mean, he had to be that guy?
He's taking every chance he can get, sounds like.
Well, I mean, when you're playing against Nated, you need all the help you can get, but...
I mean, sure, but... Okay. And then the next one we have is from a user that goes by Katona, or Katoka. Katoka. Yeah. And he submitted a little video clip, and it's him getting a couple of snipe shots, a couple of shotgun shots, and it's just a little 1 minute clip. He also got a cone splatter. It's about 3/4 of the way through. He was shooting a fusion coil, and this is on the pit, Halo 3, and he managed to get a splatter. He didn't have a breakout fly cam of how the splatter happened, but you see him shoot a fusion coil, and then just boop, gets a splatter medal. So thanks for sending those in, guys.
Those are some lethal cones in Halo 3.
Oh, I really hope they have maps with that in Infinite, because like those just like off the wall moments just fill me with glee.
Just don't tie an achievement to it.
Yeah, don't do that. Don't be that guy. Don't be that guy, Halo.
Please.
Just don't. Anyways, yes.
No, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. So those were a couple of submissions that we got. Again, if you go over to our Discord, there is a Tales from the Foxhole channel in our community. So if you have any interesting stories, funny clips, anything that's worthwhile telling as far as like experiences that you have with Halo, could be running into somebody that's wearing a armor set or cool shirt and you talk it up, feel free to let us know. Shoot it over to us. You can also send us an email, submissions@podtackler.com, if you want to do it that way. Or we have a button on our website that says submit your stuff, and you can submit your little tales that way as well. Let's get to some matchmaking updates, which we actually got an update in today's community update. But since we picked them out, we'll go ahead and read that separately. So GT, what do we got for Halo 5?
Looks like on Halo 5, we still have double XP in doubles till the end of the month. So you got 8 more days on that one, as of this podcast. Mythic Rumble is still in for free-for-all. This weekend, we got Griffball rotating in for Covenant Community Slayer. Next weekend, we get Action Sack rotating in for Griffball. And also Warzone Turbo goes live, which stay tuned. There's going to be some changes coming to the Warzone playlist. Starting in March, on the 5th, the Spring 2020 season starts. Also, Mythic Arena rotates in into the ranked match, or in the ranked playlists. Halo 2 BR Slayer rotates in for Action Sack. Castle War comes back. Hey, we can work on them splatters.
There you go.
It'll rotate in on the 12th. Also, Warzone Assault will go live that weekend. On the 19th, Triple Team rotates in, and on the 26th, Core Play will replace Triple Team, and then Warzone Turbo goes live that weekend. So, it's looking good. Well, I hope everybody managed to get their games in so they could get their winter contingency nameplates, because if you haven't by this podcast, too late.
Too late.
Game over.
I did the winter contingency ones. I didn't do the doubles ones.
Yeah. I don't know if I got... I honestly don't know if I played enough to get it or not.
I got exactly 15. And I counted. Yeah.
Like I said, I did. I played. I didn't play a lot.
Yeah.
Looks like Shoddy Snipes will be selectable in social games for 4v4 and FFA. Also available in Halo Reach, Halo 2, Halo 2 Anniversary, Halo 3, and Halo 4.
Across all games, basically. Except for CE.
Or ODST. Well, oh, wait a minute. ODST doesn't have a multiplayer. Oh, sorry.
Womp, 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 womp. Anyways, thank you for the matchmaking updates, GT. We head on over to our Halo Waypoint articles. First one is the community spotlight from last week. This is the Valentine's Day edition, which unfortunately we did not get to do last week because it came out on Friday. Came out on Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
The first one at the top here is important to note. We have mentioned this before on the podcast, but it's worthy noting again. Mr. and Mrs. Legendary Woman 7 got married.
It's now official.
Yep, it's now official. They did this back late last year. They gave Snickerdoodle a couple of pictures to use on the blog. And they also posted some of these over on the Halo subreddit and also on their Facebook pages as well, the corresponding Facebook pages. I'm going to go on over to the browser view here. Oh, I need to update that a little bit from the new Edge. So what we've done for the podcast's sake, because you guys probably don't like to hear us and ah and ooh and ah over all the pictures.
Ooh and ah all over.
But we've picked our top five posts from this article, and if you want to find out what everything is there, then obviously head on over to the website, HaloWaypoint.com. But as you see, the wedding pictures up here are really beautiful. They had it at Disney, and there was plenty of Halo to go around, so both of them have helmets. Mm-hmm. And have some pretty cool pictures there. So my top picks in this set. First one is prospective spouses. I couldn't even get the first part of that out. This is a piece of art by Katam343, and it is Buck in his Spartan undersuit and Dare leaning on his shoulder, and then some of the crew of the UNSC Infinity was Fireteam Osiris in the background as well.
Actually, I think that's the inspiration comes from the end of the book, which we haven't covered yet.
Oh, no.
So
we have Bad Blood?
No, this is... Yes, Bad Blood. Sorry.
We've done Bad Blood.
I guess
Blood.
We have... Yeah, we've done Bad Blood.
Bad Blood.
We did?
Although I would think the height difference would be a little bit more than that. Well, I guess it's being Spartan 4.
Well, even in ODST, they were about the same height. And he only gained about a foot over what he was.
I thought...
His Buck was already 6 foot.
I didn't think they were the same height, but okay.
I said about.
I didn't even think it was about, but I am probably wrong.
But who knows? Whatever.
Yeah. Next one that I like is Cards of the Apocalypse. And this is kind of a
mashup. Well, since we're right there, one of my favorites is this shot of the Brute.
Yes. Sorry. And also one of GT's favorite was the prospective spouses. But yes, Tartarus by Dusty Yo 10.
Now, if they'd have made Tartarus look like that in Halo 2, oh my God.
Yeah, right? Everyone's the same size in ODST. Okay, thanks, Inji. I thought Dare was shorter for some reason. I guess not. So yeah, my next one here is Cards of the Apocalypse, and this is just a mashup of a whole bunch of different universes, and you have Master Chief with Cortana there. You have a Stormtrooper. I know I recognize some of these other characters, but I can't think for the life of me of what...
Looks like they've got... Oh, I can't think.
Yeah, I'm having the same issue. I wonder if the Reddit post says what the characters are.
Let's see.
Nope.
No, it doesn't.
Not seen. Like,
I think maybe one of them might be.
Oh, there is a Claptrap. I missed that, didn't you?
Yeah.
There is a Claptrap. I like that one. I like just the mashup of worlds of different gaming universes
It's,
in there.
It's cool.
And I recognize these characters. I just have, for the sake of me, I cannot think of.
Like, can't place them.
Yeah. And there's a Scarab in the background, which is cool.
Mm-hmm.
Some 4DK. GLaDOS is on the TV. Oh, yes, she is. Yes, she is. How about that? Okay, cool. Let's see. The next one for me here is Finished the Fight by TurtleSalad711 on Reddit. It's a Master Chief helmet. It has a rose painted on there and a little bluebird on the helmet. It's kind of a little reminiscent of the final cutscene in Reach with Noble Six's mm-hmm. helmet on the ground, but it's Master Chief's helmet. Or it's a Mark VI Mjolnir helmet. What else do I have? The sniper rifle. Well, I guess before we move on the artwork, your next one here is The Hunter by Citrus NZ.
Yeah, that one.
That's a good pick. I almost picked mm-hmm. that one. It's definitely up there below my top five, but yeah. And let's see. My next one, we go down to some of the pencil drawings. Let's see, is yours or mine first? I think yours is first. Nope, mine's first. This is Sniper Rifle by Kiki underscore Co on the subreddit. And this is just a, looks like watercolor and maybe some like pen drawing of a sniper rifle. Looks like it's Halo Reach inspired.
Mm-hmm.
And it has some of the details on there. So the manufacturer is Miss Mara Armory, the length, effective range, ammunition type, rate of fire, 60 RPM, 1 per second. I guess that's about right.
Well, providing you can reload it that fast.
Well, it's like, it's probably 60 seconds, like even just like between single bullets, but yeah. Ignoring the reload. The next one is yours, which I think is a good pick. It's Johnson mm-hmm. by Aeon Autumn on subreddit. It's a very good Halo 2 anniversary Johnson.
Yes.
And then my last one is actually a Twitter. This is by MoreShots1 on Twitter. Just scroll down to the tweets. Where is it? Oh, it's this one right here. So this is an animated picture of one of the figures. One of the Halo figures.
Cool.
And it's got it's Poncho Chief, and there's wings on the back and then flames, and he's got a knife with fire coming off of it. So it's like the Master Chief is one of the Master Chief figures, and it's an animated picture, which is just that's really cool. The fact that you just take a picture mm-hmm. and animate it like that is mind-boggling.
So it's amazing what you can do with Photoshop.
Yeah. Well, this is
maybe a little VFX.
Well, yeah, definitely a lot of VFX. So those are our top picks. Again, if you want to see everything that's over on the spotlight, head on over to the website. I do want to pick out a couple of notable things just from people that we've highlighted before. The first one is here by Rythase, and he's one of the folks that we actually had on from last week. And he has some of his Drawhane or Brute art. And I think some of this is actually going to be used as part of Project Rebirth. So he was highlighted in the update. There's also Hunters by Pure Genius Lego. And he's actually does a Mega Constructs podcast specifically talking about the Halo Mega Constructs sets. So he'll talk about the sets that he's working with. Sometimes it's one big set or a few small sets. Talks about what he likes about them, what he doesn't like about them. Talks about the figures that are in there, like if they introduce some new figure or a rare figure or something special about the set itself. So it's a little short called Hunters, and it's a stop motion Mega Constructs. It's Master Chief with a Hunter. So that's worth checking out. And then finally, we have Mr. Halo Art, who used to be a Primordial Woman 7, he also made the cut here with some of his Forge artwork. Again, not edited somehow, and it's just crazy. But they picked one image here, and I'll just search for it here. But one image here that they picked, and he had four different pictures that he posted on his Twitter. That's what we got for the community spotlight. Now on over to the community update. We've got quite a few things on here. First one is a little video that they actually released today. And this is called Building a Spartan. It's a little video of the process that 343 did with teaming up with EVA Cura to make a Halo 5 Master Chief suit armor that could be used at Halo events and other conventions like E3. So they talked to one of the folks behind EVA Cura, and there's a whole process on what they did, some of the techniques that they used, and the final product there as well. So it's about a 5-7 minute video. It's worth checking out if you're interested to see how they do some of the armors and the like the official cosplay type stuff for the franchise.
It's a really good video. They don't get super detailed with it, but they do give you some detail about how they went about constructing this particular piece of armor.
Mm-hmm. One of the interesting things that I found pretty unique, because I know one of the real pains of cosplaying is having the visor fog up, but apparently they have one fan like right above, and there's hidden vents in the helmet structure there, and then there's another fan underneath, kind of where the mouthpiece would normally be, but they vent it from the back of the helmet in to push fresh air so the visor doesn't fog up. So I thought that was a pretty interesting little attention to detail.
Mm-hmm.
The next thing that we have on the update is HCS Esports Engine announcement. This came out yesterday, and this was a premiere on YouTube, and they tweeted this out as well, but Tashi has a little video with Adam Apicella. I'm not exactly sure how you say his name. HCS has partnered with Esports Engine, which is a esports company, to do the international, or they say global management partner. So they're going to help work with the international scene when it comes to competitive Halo. And they had a quote from Adam Apicella. Again, I'm not sure which way it's said. Important to note here before reading this quote, he was actually one of the founders or co-founders of MLG. So there's a lot of ex-MLG staff behind Esports Engine. So that's a good sign for those that have been following competitive Halo for a while. He had this to say: "We are extremely excited to work with 343 Industries as their global management partner and leverage our rich Halo history and 20 years of esports operations experience to help build the best program for players, fans, teams, and tournament operators around the world. From our experience running Halo for so many years and also being a third-party operator trying to make ends meet, now being able to help design a program that's something for the fans want, something that players want, that's great for the teams, great for the operators. It's super exciting to be involved in such a monumental project." Now, there's a little bit of confusion, as GT and I were talking a little bit before the show, of what this actually means as far as MLG being a part of Halo Esports. It doesn't necessarily exclude them from participating in Halo Esports in any ways, but it doesn't really seem to include them either.
Yeah,
so we're not exactly sure.
Wait to hear more information on that at a later date.
Yeah, we're not exactly sure at this point. So yeah,
I'm happy. It's good to hear. I'll be interested to see what kind of format they come up with.
A lot of the folks in the HCS Pro Talk Discord were very happy about this announcement.
Mm-hmm.
And they also mentioned that this should help bring in a lot of the tier one organizations into esports again, and that will help give HCS a little bit more visibility in the grand stage of esports, which that could be another discussion. I don't know if you saw the major thread that NG or Confal, I think it was NG, had in our Discord, I think 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Which one? They've had a couple of pretty good discussions lately.
Not the latest one, but the one before that, where they were talking about...
I probably missed that one.
It was a discussion that we had in there of whether Halo could be kind of back on top in the realm of esports. And we just kind of got to talking about how the scene has changed since Halo.
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
Yeah. Since Halo had its prime back in the early 2000s, and what people are interested in watching has changed. You have a lot of the Overwatch, CSGO, League of Legends. And Halo doesn't really appeal to the, I'll call it the quote-unquote popular format that streamers like to watch, or viewers like to watch. Yes, NG, that one. That could be a whole other discussion, just bringing that up as a topic that we had in the Discord.
Yeah, that's that boils down to attention span.
Well, I think it's that.
I mean, honestly, there actually has been some interesting research done with Twitch and Mixer as of recently. Currently, Mixer has more people streaming to it than watching it.
Huh. Like per capita or like pure?
Total. They have more people streaming to Mixer than they have actually watching streams.
Huh. That's interesting.
And Twitch overall have kind of plateaued at a certain level of streamers versus people watching.
Okay.
They still have more people watching than streaming, but the numbers have kind of leveled off, you know, where they experienced a lot of growth there for, you know, the last few years. Well, now it's kind of flattening out.
Okay.
So, you know, we don't know if, you know, that's the one thing. You don't know if it's going to go up or it's going to go down from there. So, you know, the whole premise of watching someone play a video game has changed.
Yes.
Like on Twitch, the up and coming genre are honestly talk shows. People just talking to a camera with some gameplay. They'll play the game for a little while and then they'll come back and they'll just talk to their audience. Those type of streamers have been gaining more traction as of late.
Don't see it happening here.
Well, like I said, they do two things. They play for a little while, then they'll take a break, and then they just sit there and chat back and forth with their audience.
Right.
You know, they'll put the game aside for a little bit, and they'll just sit there and chat with their audience. Answer questions, or, you know, they usually will steer the conversation in a certain way.
Got it.
But yeah, okay. You know, it's the mindset of people is definitely changing on that one.
Yeah. DreamHack Anaheim is this weekend. So by the time you're listening to this, it's taking place.
Over with.
Or might be over with, yes.
Come on, Des, let's be honest.
Hey, I've been actually doing a pretty decent job.
You have been, with a couple of exceptions, but you've been doing pretty good.
This last week was an exception because of my freaking smart home blowing up in my face.
Well, you're the one that has the smart home.
Yes, this is true. But there is the event taking place from February 21st to 23rd. Again, if you're listening live, that is tomorrow. And if you're listening to the podcast, it's either happening right now or that's happening after the fact. There is the Halo Reach on PC 50K 4v4, and then there's a 5K FFA, and there's an extra little thing that they threw in there. There is a $2,000 Halo Reach campaign speedrun.
Is that the whole campaign?
No.
That would be interesting.
No, it's just specific maps. I think it's four missions that they have. But
hopefully Nightfall isn't one of them.
I don't know, actually. They didn't specify which maps are going to be selected. But you sign up on site. They will play five people at a time for the speedrunners. This will take place in the PC play area from 12 p.m. to 8 p.m. The top 24 runners from Friday and the top 24 runners from Saturday will move on to the finals on Sunday.
Mm.
Yeah. A shot for the grand prize. Prize distribution, it's 650 for first place, 400 for second place, 250 for third place, 150 for fourth place, and $50 for fifth place. And this is being coordinated by Pro Ace Joker and DJ Blue PDX.
They are going to be your hosts for the event.
Well, for the 2K specifically.
Yeah.
Yes.
For the speedrun part.
Right. Pro Ace Joker has been one of the more consistent and prevalent speedrunners, at least on stream.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Monopoly, I don't know if he's been streaming as much, but he's still doing a lot of stuff on his YouTube channel. And there's a few other speedrunners that'll come.
Well, he hadn't been really doing runs lately. He's been exploring the new glitches that he's found in Halo 2 recently.
Yes. GT hosting an esports event when?
Never.
That was from NG on Mixer.
I know who it was from.
I'm telling the folks that are listening to the download.
NG's trying to be funny. Again.
We got the next Microsoft Store event. It's going to take place on March 29th, and it's going to be a Halo Reach Doubles.
Cool. Like I said, it's funny how those rose-colored glasses came on when Reach got re-released. Anyway.
It does look a lot better than it did back on the 360.
Don't get me wrong. It looks great, and it plays fine, but it's still Reach.
This is true. This is very true.
It does play different than it did before when you're playing on computer or, you know, on an Xbox X, but it's still Reach.
It is.
The same problems that it had when it was on the 360, it still has. But anyway, I'm glad everybody's enjoying it.
And you had mentioned updates to the Halo Flight earlier that's going on, which I don't think we actually mentioned on the podcast last week because it came out after the fact.
Well, it came out that day is when they started sending out invites.
Oh, yeah. So I guess we did touch on that a little bit.
Matter of fact, during the podcast, I happened to check my email and I got the invite. So thank you, 343. I appreciate that. Looks like approximately 100,000 people registered for the Halo Insider were invited to this flight.
I think that's the biggest amount of people that they've invited.
Yeah.
For any one flight.
The flight features, or the new features in Halo Reach that they're testing in this flight, are message of the day. You now can see the ping for the data center you're connected to, push to talk, voice chat, and push to talk keybinds. And then a new crouch while moving behavior for mouse and keyboard. Hopefully it works for controller too. I haven't tried that one yet. I've been on the other side. I've been playing CE. So for Halo Combat Evolved Anniversary, it includes support for several missions of single player and co-op campaign. I think they got 4 or 5 levels in there. I can't remember exactly how many.
I honestly haven't booted up yet, so I don't know.
Yeah.
I plan on playing this week.
The weird thing is they start you off at Truth and Reconciliation. Okay. Anyway, which I've already found a weird glitch that I haven't had a chance to actually post yet, but I'll get that posted up.
What is the glitch?
Let me finish this and I'll go into the glitch.
Okay.
There's also a multiplayer, match made, and custom games. And new customization 3D model viewer.
Which gotten a lot of flack.
It's interesting. It's interesting. We'll just go there.
That's gotten a lot of flack. A lot of flack.
Now you can change your Spartan armor's color in 3D. Oh.
And it looks nothing like the in-game model because Unreal Engine renders it differently.
Yeah. You know, tune that, guys. Just a little bit. A little bit. Don't get me wrong, it looks great in menus, but it doesn't look anything like it does in the game.
Nope.
Anyway.
Nope.
So the interesting thing that I came across, and I don't know if anybody's run across this yet or not, but I played Truth and Reconciliation with a controller, not keyboard and mouse, and I noticed during the level that every once in a while, if I was zoomed in, you know, just the 5x zoom, and I'd hit reload, it wouldn't unzoom me. So I would stay zoomed in while it went through the reload. Unfortunately, I was playing by myself, so I don't know if it actually went through the reload animation or not. But I stayed zoomed in.
Could always go into a custom game and find out.
I could too. I also could do it if there was a theater.
A theater in Halo CE, so...
No. Well, you know, they wanted ideas for new features.
Fair point.
But so far, I've been enjoying it. I have noticed that the crosshairs are not exactly centered on PC. So you kind of... It's kind of just a little bit to the left of center.
Yeah.
So, actually, I think it's a little left of center and a little high. It's not quite exactly centered.
That's weird that it's left of center.
Yeah.
That's really
weird. At least it is. Yeah. And I know this because the monitor that I have, it actually has the built-in crosshair function. So I turned it on just to check because it makes it easy to find the center of the screen.
Yeah.
And yeah, sure enough, it's to the left and up. I mean, it still works. Yeah, like I said, I was going to, but...
I got you.
But anyway, I mean, as long as you're still using the crosshairs correctly, it still works. I mean, the aiming is correct. It's just the crosshair isn't centered on the screen. You know, so it's nothing that you really have to adapt to. As long as you're using the crosshairs, they still work. You know, it's still Halo CE crosshairs.
Okay.
But I have a lot of fun with that. It took me a while to get used to the three-shot pistol again.
Yep, the overpowered pistol. Overpowered HC pistol.
Oh, and I will say one thing. They need to take Flag off of, what is that, Damnation? Is that the name of the map?
That is the name of the map. That's the one with the coolant pipes.
No, not coolant pipes.
That's Damnation.
Oh, shoot. What's the name of it?
Color scheme.
It's the one that's got the little, you know, you have the low base and the high base. And then you have the floor is covered with the little pillars.
Hang 'em high.
Is that Hang 'em High?
Yep. That is a Halo CE classic.
Yeah.
Yep. It's a love or hate relationship.
Take Flag
one.
Off that damn map.
That is a classic.
you do not play Capture the Flag on that map, or you take grenades off that map.
Capture the Flag on that map was big back in the day.
I know why it's big, because if you're red team, you're screwed.
Yep, I know.
I played four games on that map, and they would just sit there and rain grenades into our spawn.
I know exactly spawn what you're
die,
talking
spawn
about.
Die, spawn die, spawn die, spawn die, spawn die, spawn die.
Oh,
I got sniped this time.
Yep. Yep, I know exactly what you're talking about. I do want to dip into the community musings real quick, because there was a video that was posted by the YouTube channel is Kava Wuvi, KAVAWUVI. And this actually got released on Friday, so it was a pretty quick turnaround from when the build came out, but he goes and compares the Halo CE build to the Halo PC build from Gearbox to some of the mods that the community has done, like Chimera and a few other things to help stability and smooth things out. And then the build that was released for the Insider Flight. And he has a lot of good comparisons on things that the community has done to help smooth things out and actually fix some things that were bugged in the Gearbox release, or things that once you went from a 30 frame rate to a 60 frame rate broke. So it's a really interesting video. It's about 10 to 11 minutes long, and it's a really good dive into differences between the different iterations of CE that we have and things that really would, I guess, kind of behoove 343 to try to fix or implement some of the mods that the community has made for Custom Edition as official mods or fixes within the game.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a worthwhile watch for sure. Back over to the rest of the article, we got Community Slayer. Oh, and I guess before we move on, the Halo Insider did get a build update today. So make sure you have the latest build. It's not 1.135 anymore. There's a build after that. I think it's 1.137 or something like that. Posted that about on Twitter. Just if you need to restart the game, make sure you have the latest build or check your Steam client for an update. Community Slayer came out, so there's a few map debuts that they highlight on the update. Some of the maps are in there that are in there currently are returns, but there are some new ones in here. So there are Fever Pitch by Sick Mechanico, Full Metal by Xdemption, Hourglass by Sniper C, and Transit by Infed More Bleach. Or I Need More Bleach. It's interesting gamertag. some updates to Warzone Firefight. In an effort to consolidate even more playlists, they're looking at Warzone. They've noticed that people who play Legendary Warzone Firefight jump into Mythic Warzone Firefight on the weekends, thus leaving an imbalance in both of those playlists at different points of the week. So what they're going to do is combine the Halo or the Heroic and Legendary Warzone Firefights and keep the Mythic. Now, what that means is it'll be Heroic difficulty, but you'll get the XP payout that you've been getting for Legendary Firefight. The best of both worlds.
And then if you want to beat your head against the wall, you have Mythic Firefight there.
Yes. Mythic will still be there.
It will no longer rotate in and out. It'll be there all the time.
Right. So you remember the saying nerf or nothing?
Yeah, this is kind of got me wondering what the heck's going on.
So for Halo Infinite branding, 343 has partnered with Hasbro, it seems like, on quite a few things. Mega still has the building series, so all the Mega Construct stuff is still there. But the blasters are no longer with Boomco, because Boomco apparently went up in kaput last year.
Mm.
I didn't know that. Laird hit me up on Discord and let me know that.
Boomco is no more.
Yep, pretty much.
Well, that's sad.
I've still got my box of blasters, which I haven't hung up yet. I probably spent like $300 or more on Boomco.
Well, see, now they're worth like $320.
Or nothing. The market might be bad enough where they don't cost anything.
Oh. But anyway. Sad days.
Yeah. So Halo has announced their partnership with Nerf. And there is an article over on GameSpot. And they showcase off three of the blasters that they have planned. There's an assault rifle, which has green, whites, and oranges in there. And then there are, I guess, kind of like mini blasters. I'm not sure what they call it, but there is a rocket launcher that's a little handgun, which is so weird, and a needler.
Mm-hmm. They shoot the little Nerf darts.
It's the regular size Nerf darts.
Huh?
I think it's the regular size Nerf darts. It's just...
I thought they shot the smaller Nerf darts. One thing we did get with that release is we did get something official for Infinite.
Yes.
This assault rifle, which is patterned after the one in Infinite, is the MA-40 assault rifle.
Mm-hmm. And it'll come with a code that you can use to unlock the Nerf skin in Halo Infinite, which confirms that there are weapon skins in Halo mm-hmm. Infinite.
You know, the funny thing is loot
boxes.
I've got the Boomco one and I don't even use it.
I have told my wife, and I haven't done this yet, and she's not down here, so she's not listening, but I have told her that at one of these days there will be a Boomco weapon at the front door and I will be hiding. She has to come shoot me first, or I'll pop out and shoot her. She'll have like a minute to find me. So yeah, we had a lot of fun with those. For those who happen to watch the stream or not, when I had my bachelor's over before our wedding, we had a little kind of LAN party here. So there was one point after like an hour and a half of us playing, we broke out the Boomco blasters and we just started shooting each other. So that was a lot of fun. Micro shots is what the small ones are called.
Yeah.
There's a spanker and a needler.
Yes, please, no more pizza skins.
Itchy says he loves them.
He can have them. But I
personally don't care for the pizza skin.
I don't want them in my loot boxes.
There's also some announcements going to be happening at the New York Toy Fair, which is this weekend. Both Mega Constructs and Wicked Cool Toys, Wicked Cool Toys being the company that 343 has partnered up with to do a lot of the Infinite products, will be showcasing some Halo gear at the New York Toy Fair. So cool. be sure you're staying tuned to the Halo Gear Twitter account. Also, to that effect, Mega Construct, the Mega Constructs account teased out an image. It's basically a couple of sets that have been blacked out. There's one that is a pelican. There's a warthog and a mongoose or a gungoose. And these are all Halo Infinite sets, so it'll be interesting to kind of get a glimpse at what different changes we might see in Infinite for design stuff. So that's going to be happening. NG says that they're likely going to be revealed tomorrow, which will be Friday the 21st.
Cool.
Yeah. And then finally, we get to the bottom of the update where we have the latest piece of artwork, and this actually harkens all the way back to Halo CE.
Mm-hmm. Pretty wicked piece of art.
Yeah, I love this piece of art.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember when the first time I saw this was, but it's a lovely piece of art.
Yeah, it's already in my wallpaper folder.
I need to go back and download some of them because I haven't gone back and downloaded everything. Mm-hmm. Shut up, NG.
I don't download all of them, but I download a lot of them. And I know that, you know, I do it when I see them because I know if I try to tell myself to come back and do it, I never will.
Someone just needs to make a folder that they just dump them into and then it's just available for everybody.
Yeah, you need to come up with a OneDrive that we can all have a link to. And you just dump them in the OneDrive and, you know, so it automatically syncs to our computers.
Please, 343, please. Please. Yes, please. That would be nice. There is a spring 2020 season update that, oh, I don't know why I'm blanking on his name right now. The guy behind the rankings and the matchmaking stuff. Why, I don't know why I'm blanking on his freaking name.
I don't either because I don't know his name either.
Someone in the chat will correct me here. The CSR guy. I don't know why I can't think of his name right now. Like, I freaking saw his name when I put it in the freaking show notes, but I didn't put his name in the show notes.
Zaid Fell?
Well, no, that's his forum handle.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, jeez.
What's his name?
Chat, help me out here.
Josh. Joshua Minky?
Yes, Minky. Yes, Josh Minky. Yeah. Thank you. Wow. People are going to be yelling at me on that one. Okay, anyways, he has a little update on the forums talking about some of the changes that are going to be coming to the 2020 spring season based on some feedback. They've been getting a lot of feedback based on if a player quits on the losing team, then the winning team doesn't gain a lot of CSR. So they're going to make a change so that players on the winning team will still get full CSR even if a loser quits early. They also said that players still appreciate losing less CSR on a loss when they have a quitter. So they're going to keep the behavior with one exception. And this is based on feedback about players intentionally quitting out of parties to avoid CSR loss. They're making that quitters in the same party will not prevent the usual loss of CSR. So players who have party members quit for them will still lose full CSR. So just play the game. Just play the game. They've also noticed a lot of people are reaching Onyx really fast, so they're going to be adjusting some of the CSR there. Instead of a max
rank... I'm not one of them.
Instead of a max rank of 30 CSR gain and loss per match, it'll be 10 once a player reaches Onyx. And then they've also heard that Onyx players are matching with lower skilled players. Obviously, that is possible due to some of the low population counts in some of the playlists. So starting in the spring season, Onyx and above will receive diminishing amounts of CSR the farther their skills are from the rest of the party. And this also has to deal with like Onyx members partying up with other members that aren't have that rank. So it's a little more balancing out of the CSR based on who you're playing against. Also, the minimum CSR for champions is going to be raised from 1500 to 1600. Because of the changes happening to some of the Onyx ranks. So there you go.
Cool.
A little update to the spring 2020 season. The anniversary, or sorry, not anniversary. Valentine's has come and gone, but there was a little Valentine's card that Halo released. So if you had a chance to go use that, it looked pretty cool. It was a little like a fourfold thing that you could make. So also, they posted another sound design Saturday over on their Instagram. This time it was gun sounds and explosions. And then the social stream was Matt Klein and Snickerdoodle. And Matt Klein is one of the latest additions to the team. He's actually only been at the studio for about a week. He's part of the HCS, I think, broadcasting team. So he's going to be working with some of the productions on some of the HCS stuff coming in the future. And actually know Matt and his wife because I met them at an MLG Dallas event back in, I think it was 2009.
Mm-hmm. That's cool.
Thank you for the follow, Samuel Hodgkiss. That's an interesting name. Thanks for following us on Mixer. Yeah. So I think at one point they said that was like either one of the first times they've met or like their first date because we drove to a TGI Fridays. So there's a little history there.
A little bit.
Yep. That's it for most of the article stuff. There is one little Fan Fiction Friday there if you want to take that, GT.
Oh, yeah. Fiction Friday. Even though it's Thursday.
Well, this was Friday from last week.
Yeah, I know. I'm joking.
Gotcha.
The Mongoose is an all-terrain quad bike that is wildly popular on both civilian markets and within the UNSC. For who knows what reason. Because you breathe on it heavy and you're rolling over.
Yeah.
Maybe it's the horn. It's got to be the horn.
Yeah. We've got a couple community highlights to go through. HCS Pro Talk released their 114th episode, and this is their DreamHack Anaheim preview. And also, Podcast Evolved released their 202nd episode. And this is an interview with Scott Brick, who has narrated, I think they said like 13 of the Halo books, something like that. Or maybe it was like 13 different franchises or something like that.
It's probably 13 different franchises.
Okay.
Because I think he's only done like 5 Halo books.
Okay. So it's an interview with them. I haven't listened to that episode yet. I have listened to the HCS Pro Talk episode, but those podcasts are there. Over on the community musings side of the house, we've got our normal Halopedia Trivia Tuesday and Lore Thursday. So what do we got for those,
yeah. JT? For Trivia Tuesday, did you know that David S.F. Wilson, creative director of Blur Studios, designed the UNSC Spirit of Fire as a small nod to a private D. Wilson appears in a cryopod in the final cutscene of the original Halo Wars. Did not know that.
I didn't know that either.
I'll have to look at that again.
Yep.
And per Halopedia, Lore Thursday, let's see, the AC-220 Vulture is a heavy gunship used by the UNSC for some odd reason. Yeah. The Vulture saw heavy use by the crew of the Spirit of Fire as they fought for survival on the Shield World 0459 and Insulation 00. Actually, the Vulture is not a bad unit.
No, it's a very...
I've seen some talented players do some interesting stuff with them.
It's very useful for me as we've been doing the Halo Wars 2 achievements. It's been very useful.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the little announcement that we had mentioned that Halopedia was going to make last week, well, they made it. They are pleased to introduce the Aperture update to the Halopedia archives. Finally, the majority of the Halo 3 Iris ARG has been archived in their original form, including the long-lost campaign overview that goes over the ARG in detail. More over at archives.halopedia.org.
So, break out your old Internet Explorer.
I think I was using Firefox back then.
You won't be using Firefox now. Firefox no longer supports Flash.
So, I'll use Chrome. I hope there's some way that they can convert those to HTML5 or something like that.
Yeah.
SWAT Nation is having another SWAT tournament. I did try to find the results for the Valentine's Day... or the one that happened on this past Sunday, but I couldn't find the results for that one. I know the HCS Pro Talk folks talked about it, so if you want to hear more about the results, you can get going over there. But they announced a Halo 5 4v4 SWAT tournament. This is going to be taking place on March 22nd at 2 p.m. Eastern Time. Registration for that is open now and will close on March 18th at 6 p.m. And there is a $600 prize pool. Oh, and this is called Birthday Swatathon. Should have mentioned that. There you go. Podcast Evolved has been continuing their Know Your Halo string on Twitter. So if you are following that, then they've been doing it pretty much every day. And today's is the ship, or this ship was sent to the Ark in 2553, only to be commandeered by a foreigner AI and later crashed onto a remote planet.
I know what it is.
I know what it is too, actually. The options are Forward Unto Dawn, Two for Flinching, The Rubicon, or The Cradle. And yes, it looks like they have been doing daily posts of these.
Cool.
So yeah. And every day they do another one, they reveal yesterday's answer. Yesterday's was almost, I think almost everybody got, because it was 98.2 success rate.
Yeah.
The question was, this human colony was the first to be glassed by the Covenant at the onset of the war in 2525. The answers were Harvest, Bliss, Biko, and Gallifrey. The only other option people chose was Biko. And out of 57 results, I guess that's only one person said Biko. So there you go. Yes, Erykubu Gallifrey. I appreciated that one, but I don't think everyone would necessarily. Sentinel partners with Tox for Halo. So Sentinels is another esports organization, and they haven't bought out Tox, so they're not taking over Tox, but they're partnering with Tox in the Halo esports scene. So that announcement was made over the past week. The GMAs also announced their second annual Gold Monitor Awards. Submissions are now open over on their Discord server. They will be focusing on machinimas posted between June 1st of 2019 and May 31st of 2020. There are going to be 21 different award categories for this year. Also, Ascend Hyperion posts his first machinima of 2020. It's called Hitchhikers. It's a Halo 5 machinima, which might likely make the Machinima Monday for this coming Monday. Maybe.
Might.
We got some community videos. Hidden Xperia has two for this week. The first one is the concept art, which we're going to talk about here in a little bit if we have the time. And then the next one is a little video about the nerf stuff that was announced, and also some of the like the fake casting announcements for Halo Infinite and the TV show. So he goes on a ramble about that and just the ridiculousness.
I skipped over about 90% of that video.
I just had it going on in the background. I wasn't paying close attention, but it was pretty entertaining to listen to. Halo Cannon actually has a video out.
Yes.
Believe it or not. He has two videos out. Believe it or not. First one is his review of Halo Battleborn, Meridian Divide, which, no, I haven't read yet. And the second one is new information from a toy. So this is his talking about the nerf weapons and talking about how there's the little note about their skins being in Halo Infinite. There's that.
Mm-hmm.
Installation 00 has plenty more videos as well. He has a lore and theory featuring Harispus about the Didact. He has a Covenant cannon featured with Covenant stealth pylons. And then the 14th issue of his Armory series, and this is the Type 51 Covenant carbine. General Kid has 6 new videos on his channel. So if you want to go over and check those out, then do it. He's talked about the shields on Savo Highway, the secret gravity gun in Halo CE, the secret unused engineers in Halo CE, and the original mongoose in Halo 2, and the mystery of the green door in Halo 2. And we don't have any updates on projects this week, because we have actually caught up to all of them, which is nice. So for those listening to download, we normally go on break during the shows. You probably don't notice it, but we do. Turns out we've already done Shadow of Intent as well. So that's strike two, because we thought we didn't do retribution, and now we didn't think we did Shadow of Intent. So we're going to do dirt.
So we quickly ran through the books and figured out that we think we haven't done this one.
Yeah, we don't think we've done dirt on the show. I know I've read it. It's been a while ago. GT probably has more fresh memory of it than I do, but yeah, we're going to talk about dirt.
Well, yeah, considering about 3 weeks ago, I went through Evolutions again.
Ah, there you go. So we're going to talk about dirt.
Dirt is an interesting small short story.
It is.
It's
a different perspective of things.
Yeah, it shows a different perspective of what can happen during wartime. It kind of highlights the trials and tributes that the soldiers themselves go through. This is actually the first appearance of the Rookie.
Yes. Timeline-wise.
No, is it the Rookie or Noble? No, yes, it is the Rookie. It is the Rookie. The way this starts out, this Marine finds a crashed Pelican and is rendering assistance to the pilot. And the guy that was flying the Pelican already knows he's dead. He knows he's not going to survive. So he tells the Rookie this story. And he starts off by telling the Rookie how when he was a young lad.
And that was a wee young
lad. In other words, as a wee young lady. Anyway, basically what happens, the minute he turned 18 or legally was able to sign up for military service, he did. He was raised on Harvest.
Mm-hmm. Which should be
and familiar. What? Yeah. One of his best friends, was she? Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
One of his best friends also signed up for a different reason. They both wanted off Harvest, but just for different reasons. He wanted off Harvest because he didn't want to be a farmer. She wanted off Harvest just to piss her dad off because he was a well-to-do uppity-up on Harvest. Anyway, so, you know, they take you through basic training and all this, and, you know, they talk about the crap jobs they got because they were actually not the real military,
the militia.
What was it? The militia. That's right. I don't know why I can never remember that word.
That's all right. I couldn't remember Menke earlier, so.
Yeah. I had to look it up.
Still.
Anyway, you know, they talked about that area where, you know, before the UNSC absorbed the colonial militia. And, you know, how things played out, you know, the militia got the crap jobs, they got the crap equipment, you know, stuff like that. And towards the end of that, there was an incident where they stole a Hornet, flew it to town to go bar hopping. And while they were bar hopping, an insurrectionist blew up the bar they were in.
Yeah. And Eric Abu is correcting us and checking with the Halopedia article. It is the Colonial Military.
Colonial Military Authority.
Yes.
Okay. Sorry.
That's all right.
Anyway.
And again, if you guys want a full rundown of the book, go listen to Halopedia. We're just kind of giving our initial thoughts or our responses to the book.
This is kind of a high level overview. And yes, I understand that some of this stuff I will get wrong because. Keep in mind, it has been over a month since I actually went through this story.
Yeah.
But it kind of shows this group of people, their early lives in the military. Well, after this incident, our particular narrator in this story decides he's going to become an ODST.
Mm-hmm. The baddest of the bad.
Uh-huh. Because shortly after the bomb incident, they find out that Harvest has been glassed. No, that was a little bit later.
Yeah, I thought it was.
Yeah, they.
Like while they're on, I think, a future mission, they find out.
Mm-hmm. They come home and they find out that Harvest has been glassed, and that drives a wedge between him and his best friend, the two that left Harvest. Because she had every intention of going back.
Yeah.
You know, she didn't wish any ill will to her father or anything. She had every intention of going back. But the Covenant stopped that because they glassed the planet. Well, but at least that area of the planet. So she felt a lot of resentment towards, and now I can't remember his freaking name now. If I was smart, I would have looked this up first.
Well, we didn't really have much time. Was it like her dad or
the narrator of this story?
Oh, Gage.
Gage, yes. And then her name was
Felicia?
Felicia.
Yeah, Felicia and Gage are kind of, well, Gage is the person that's telling the story to the rookie. Right. And then Felicia is not necessarily his girlfriend, but is the other significant character.
Just his friend.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, they're just really good friends. But, you know, they separate and, you know, several years pass. And, you know, they pretty much have. Yeah,
exact.
They pretty much, you know, each of them has come to the point where they, you know, they think the other's dead. It just so happens they run across each other, and one of their other friends, who they thought died in the bomb attack at the nightclub, actually survived and became a pilot and was flying Pelicans.
Mm-hmm.
So they had hatched this plan on their next stop to basically rob one of the banks. The world had been cleared because it was it was being attacked by the Covenant, and you know, so everybody was evacuated off, and they came up with this brilliant plan to basically rob a bank.
Yeah, so basically the whole chaos of the Covenant glassing this planet and looking for foreign artifacts, they decide to take the opportunity to
line their pockets.
Try to make a quick buck.
And the reason the UNSC was there was they were there to try to recover the Forerunner artifact that the Covenant was looking for.
Yeah, that was the
that was the whole point of why they were there.
Mm-hmm.
But during their little retrieval operation at the local bank, they found that there were several people hiding in the vault. That did not get evacuated. And there was a little tussle over what they should do with it.
Mm-hmm. Should they help them, leave them?
Uh-huh.
Yep.
So Gage actually winds up stealing the Pelican from them that's full of the gold bullion or whatever the valuable metals were
gold,
that they
gold
were.
Gold bars.
Yeah, gold bars. And him being such a wonderful pilot that he is, winds up crashing it.
Yep. But, did he get hit? I can't remember if he got hit or was it just...
Yeah, he got shot at.
Okay.
And at that point, this is where the rookie came across him. He was retreating with the units that had recovered the Forerunner artifact.
Mm-hmm.
And Gage had actually landed and picked up the artifact and was getting it away from the Covenant and basically using it to bait them into coming around the Pelican so that everybody else could get away. And interesting thing is the retreating troops were, if I remember correct, were dragging along a nuke.
Yeah, there was a Shiva nuke.
And the guy, he tells them to put it in the back, and the guys look at the back of the Pelican, and of course it's cram packed full of
gold
boxes with gold bars in it. And he just tells them, he says, shove everything out on the ground, take one bar each, and you didn't see anything. Put everything else back in the back. And they did. And it boils down to that he sacrificed his life to save his platoon. And this is the story he's telling the rookie. And it shows how easily in this situation someone can become jaded. And somebody can really go against their against their character.
Yeah.
And you know how easily that can happen. Yes, this takes 30, you know, it takes place over 30 years, but it's sometimes the stuff happens so subtly that you don't even notice it. And I thought it was an interesting depiction of just wartime situation.
Well, and I think a nice little thing that Dirt does as well is you usually see such a pristine presentation of the Halo universe, so, and excuse the pun, but this throws a little dirt on that and shows you a different, like, what would probably really happen within the universe somewhere of, people take advantage of the situation when the...
One thing I have liked about the Halo universe is it's not always squeaky clean. I mean, in every book, there's some stuff in there that makes you just, you see go on and it just makes you squirm. This takes it further than most of the other books. I will understand, I will take that, but they're not afraid to touch on these subjects.
Yeah, they're real things that would probably happen in a situation like
they're this. They're not real things that would probably have happened. They're real things that have happened.
Well, yeah.
I mean, it's happened in our history.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this takes place shortly before the events of, I guess, Halo 1 and Halo 2, maybe? Because the end here, it talks about how Rookie's talking with another ODST, talking about how Reach just got glassed and how they're retreating back to Mother Earth.
Yeah.
So it was a nice.
This happens. This is like fall of 2552.
So before Halo 1.
Yeah. Well, Halo 1 takes place right after Reach gets glassed.
Well, I thought that was like October of 2552 or September, something like that.
Like I said.
But yeah, very close.
Halo CE takes place right after the glassing of Reach. And then, and then was it like three months later we were into Halo 2?
It was like 2.5 months, I think, something like that. But yeah, it was pretty soon after.
It really quick.
Yeah.
So it's a good little story.
Yeah.
I would recommend all those stories in Halo Evolutions. They are really good stories. Some of them have actually been turned into video presentations.
The nice thing about Evolutions 2 is that each one of them, if you have the book, you have the black and white, but there's an art piece that goes with every single one of them.
Yeah. I have the audiobook, so I don't get the art piece.
Oh, well, the art pieces are...
But maybe I'll have to go I may have to go find a hard copy somewhere.
They're probably on Halopedia as well.
Probably.
But I wanted to read one of the very short little poem ones as well. So we can start knocking those out soon. And then this is actually the first entry in Evolutions. And then we'll move on to some of our other topics for this show. This one's called Beyond. And this one is written by Jonathan Goff. And the art is by Sparth, which people should probably know because he's the current art lead for Halo Infinite. There is majesty here, beyond reason, beyond understanding. Vast in its implications, what wonders offered around each new corner, over every skyward peak, or hidden deep within the shadows of each sunken valley. The questions raised, in astonishment, in fear, if such glories can be divined, yet forgotten, lost to time, strewn about the eternity of stars, what then are we? Be us man, or be us monster? In light of knowledge so vast, so far beyond, superior even to our dreams, what matters then are petty confrontations when weighted against the sins we sow? What matters then are fate amongst the cosmos, eternal and light of the halo, its luminous glow. For those that had commented about ASMR in previous recordings, there you go. A little glimpse of that. So this is kind of talking about, I guess, the kind of just seems like taking a step back and looking at all the grandeur of the Forerunner architecture and like everything that they've built, and then kind of taking the perspective of what have we done as a civilization? What are all the bad things that we've done? Yet we see such big things like Halo, like the Halos in the grand scheme of things. If there could be such beauty and such big monumental feats of architecture that the Forerunners have done, and just compare that to the petty little things that humanity has done and all the little squabbles that we have.
Yeah. Yeah, we're definitely in our own little universe.
Yeah. So we talked a little bit over the break, and I think what we're going to be doing next is Smoke and Shadow, and then follow that up with Renegades as our next book. And we know for sure we have not done those. I'm going to check a third time just to be freaking sure that we were not doing it again. But we're going to be doing that for late March. So get your books. Smoke and Shadow will be our next book club. And I did just search again. We haven't done it yet. So Smoke and Shadow. And we'll follow that up with Renegades. So late March for Smoke and Shadow. Probably early May for Renegades. Unless I somehow read quickly, in which case we'll do it in April.
But don't hold your breath.
Yeah. Already tripped over twice, which kind of killed us doing one book already. So we'll see how well that goes. So a couple weeks ago, there was some Halo 5 concept art that was posted by the user RoboGabbo on ArtStation. I don't remember what his name is Garbo Garza on his ArtStation. I'm not sure if this is his actual name or not, but it kind of gives a glimpse into some of the things that maybe some of the early story stuff with the Didact and the Covenant. So a couple of things that have been really striking the community is the fact that there's an elite with a Promethean arm. So there's some blending there of Forerunner tech with the Shanshai, or not Shanshai, the Sangheili. And I think there was just some discussions around like the implications of what like it meant to like some of the Covenant purists who didn't think it was right to use like Promethean tech in the way that's being shown in this concept art piece. So it was an interesting take on seeing the elites kind of adopt this way of thinking of sacrificing your limbs to have Promethean limbs. As far as where that would go in the Halo 5 story, I don't know. I don't see where this would necessarily kind of hint at in the way that we saw Halo 5 get presented. I mean, story-wise, can you think of anything that this would mean?
Well, one theory that's out there is that the Didact was supposed to be the main protagonist. He was supposed to take Cortana's place. And with the Didact's guidance, the elites would take on these modifications. Jul Umdama's elites would take on these modifications. Along with, you know, the Didact would also, well, the Warden Eternal would still take on the same role as he did in the game as it is, as the Didact's protector, because of some of the other pictures that are featured in here, you have a severely damaged
Grim Reaper Didact.
Yeah.
Basically.
The Reaper Didact.
It's a Didact with a cloak on it, and it's titled Rebirth? ? And it's like a quarter of his body, like from his shoulder to part of his arm, just missing. And then he has the poncho. Same poncho that Chief
Poncho Chief. Oh,
his poncho Chief Didact all over again.
Think grit. Yeah. envision Grim Reaper and put the Didex face on it. That's what you got.
Yeah, basically.
You know, they were thinking that the Didact would be taking on basically the same role as Cortana, including a lot of the same dialogue. And something that I suspected, but I never took the time to confirm, is that last monologue that Cortana goes through. You know, when you're in that last room,
mm-hmm.
fighting off the waves of Promethean knights and soldiers and crawlers and watchers, you know, right after you have the battle with the mantis and opening the gates, she quotes verbatim what the Didact says at the end of Halo 4, at least one section of it. And it always struck me as familiar, but I never understood from where. Then I was actually watching Hidden Experience video on that, and he pointed it out, and I was like, really? I knew that some of that dialogue sounded familiar.
I'm not thinking of the dialogue. I have to go back and check that out.
I don't have it in front of me. I could probably look it up here real quick. But yeah, it was really interesting that it's just something I never really picked up on. You know, I heard it and it made me question, but you know, I never really picked up on it.
I'll have to go research that. And I'm guessing if Hidden Experience mentioned it in his video, then it's probably something that wouldn't be too hard to find.
Well, no, it's not. Let's see. You know, right at the... It's part of the dialogue that the Didact uses after, you know, that final cutscene where you got the Marines coming in off the Pelican and they're scanning the little piles of ash yep. from the composer. Let's see. Okay, here it is. Cortana, and this is quoted directly from the Didact, says the same thing. Cortana states, "Our strength shall serve as a luminous sun towards which all intelligence may blossom."
Mm.
Yeah, this is just part of the phrase.
Yeah.
And the impervious shelter beneath which you will prosper. And those are actual lines from that monologue that the Didact does at the end of Halo 4.
That's interesting.
So that's the theory. That's one of the theories. As to being the cut storyline for Halo 5.
I never picked up on that. That's very interesting.
But part of the problem with doing that is because at the end of Halo 4, yes, the Didact was knocked off into the slipstream.
Yep.
Which we all originally thought had killed him.
And then surprise, he showed up in Initiation.
But then they bring him out in the comics, which the one thing that bugs me with that on the comic side is in the books, he goes through alterations to his genome trying to become immune to the flood that makes it to where they can't compose him, but yet in the comic they managed to compose him. It doesn't make sense.
I didn't pick up on that before.
Yeah, that's one thing that always confused me. Maybe the composers in the Composer Forge are more powerful. I don't know.
Maybe. Eric Ebru probably knows.
I didn't know there was more than one composer. Until the comics, at least.
Right. There's some interesting other art pieces on here, too. There's an actual dog with no DST, which I thought was pretty cool.
Yeah.
That'd be cool to see in Halo. And then there's another thing in here, the 400 Titans.
Yeah, that... I think that was Hidden Xperia 2 was also talking about how they kind of morphed into the Guardian.
That's kind of the sense I got.
You know, just the different stages that Guardian model went through mm-hmm. before they came to that final piece.
Yeah. That makes sense to me too.
And then also the Cavalier, which that's something that was leaked a long time ago, how it kind of morphed into being the Warden Eternal.
Oh, yeah. Yep. The Warden Eternal is a lot more humanoid than the Cavalier.
Mm-hmm. Well, the Cavalier started out as, you know, kind of a heavily modified knight.
Yeah.
And then it morphed from there. You know, it slowly got more humanoid in shape, and then pretty soon they were, it basically resembles the Warden.
Mm-hmm. And Inji said the Titans are code names for the Guardians. It's supposed to be another Greek mythology reference, which makes sense.
Yeah. Which makes sense, because I mean, in Greek mythology, the Titans were huge.
Mm-hmm. Those were kind of the only things that really stuck out. There's some other like foreigner type things. But other than that, those were the big ones that really stuck out was the elite foreigner hybrids, the reborn Didact with the poncho, mm-hmm. and then the Titans.
I mean, yeah, they got some early concepts of Veils, Tanakas, and Lox armor. Mm-hmm. There's some early concepts of Buck's armor. Of also
which most of them stayed pretty true to the final design.
Spartan Thorn. Yeah, they stayed pretty close to it. There's a Thorn, the one from Spartan Ops. Yep.
Spartan Thorn.
They got some of his armor in there because it's theorized he was supposed to be in Buck's place.
Yep. Which it'd be cool because Thorn was a really cool character. And the rest of Crimson was...
You know, honestly, with as much attention as they paid to him in Spartan Ops, I thought he was going to be part of Halo 5.
I did too. It seemed like that was probably part of the original plan.
I mean, I didn't think he was going to be like a playable character, but I thought he would be part, you know, just part of the game in some way.
Yeah. We all thought that. Mm-hmm. Alas.
Maybe the next game.
Maybe. And then we were also going to talk about dual wielding a little bit. We didn't get any responses. I didn't really ask for anything. So we might just have that be a discussion for next week or another time. Since we've kind of been live for almost 2 hours on the recording part of the show. But I did want to say real quick that we are putting the Patreon together. I am currently building the campaign and all the tiers and all that stuff. So come the 1st of March, because I don't want to necessarily put it out with a week less than a week left in February and have people basically double pay at the start. So come at the beginning of March, we'll open this up to people, and there'll be tiers ranging from $2 to $10, depending on how much you want to contribute and help out with supporting us. So be on the lookout for that pretty soon. Once it's live, it'll be available at podtackler.com/Patreon. And then just another reminder for our weekly streams. So we'll have Fragment Friday tomorrow. We will put a poll up in the chat in Discord to see what people want to play. I know we had mentioned not doing Insider, but then again, we didn't do it last week because of Valentine's Day. Do we want to put that as an option for tomorrow? Just because there are a lot of people in there.
We'll put it out there and we'll see if there's enough interest, we can do it. Again, that will be on PC, so, and at least for me, it'll be on the Steam side. You're doing the Steam Insider as well, right?
Well, the Insider is only on Steam.
No, they've got a Windows version too.
Oh. Well, the Windows and Steam are cross-plat anyways. But depending on what we do, I will be here tomorrow, so if we need to split lobby.
Well, I meant for, you know, finding people.
Right. But like what I'm saying is if people want to do a split lobby and if there's enough people that want to do Xbox related stuff, then we can do a split lobby if need be.
Definitely.
Because my wife will be out watching a movie with one of her other friends and I'll be here.
All by his lonesome.
Yeah.
You'll have to come keep Dust company.
Please. Yes, that'd be nice. And then if everything is, I don't think there's anything I have on Sunday, but in case there is, this won't happen, but for the time being, we're planning to do the achievement stream for Halo Wars 2 on Sunday, getting close, probably within a month of getting Halo Wars 2 done.
Yes.
And then you can also find us on Thursdays, again, right here, 8:30 p.m. is normal start time for the podcast. So come on over and tune in for that. You can follow us on our social media. We are on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Again, find us on our Discord, podtaggler.com/discord. And if you want to help us out with our company commendations, then you can head on over to podtaggler.com/company and request to enlist. We have plenty of spaces now because I did a little bit of cleanup a couple of weeks ago. So there you go. Next week on the show, we are going to have the folks from the Finish the Fight, a Halo podcast, on to talk about their podcast. Plus, I'm going to make a post about this tomorrow, but I teased this last week on the show. We're going to do the whole choose your favorite weapon thing that's been kind of going around Twitter. And I think if we have enough time, we'll do kind of a ranking, maybe not next episode, but in one of these future episodes. Kind of a twist off of something that Drunken Halo used to do on their podcast. And we might take over that segment if, because I thought they were going to try to come back, but I haven't heard anything yet. So we'll see.
What, drink heavily?
So they actually did something where they took a set of weapons, and I think the last time they did this was for Halo 5, for the starter weapons, and they put them in kind of like a tournament bracket and basically had a head-to-head discussion on each one, and then they came out with like their overall reigning starting weapon choice.
Dust, are you going to make me think?
Just a little bit. Just a little bit. Especially if we're going to do the universe segment that we had mentioned last week too, which we are still trying to figure out how we're going to do that. So yes, that'll all be coming next week. So again, the Finish the Fight folks will be on the podcast to talk about the podcast and what they do. We'll have our community results of their favorite of all time Halo weapon. This doesn't include vehicles. This doesn't include turrets or grenades. This is every single weapon that's been in a first-person shooter game. I have a little image ready to be tweeted out, and hopefully we'll get a lot of community input on that. We'll probably do the same thing for game and vehicles and that kind of stuff. So that'll be on the podcast next week as well. Plus maybe a couple other things. Who knows what we'll come up with in the meantime.
Sorry, I tried to hold it in. NG's being funny in the chat NG again.
He said we need a
podcast. He says
go ahead.
We need a podtacular bingo card, and 90% of it should be technical problems.
Which we haven't had any tonight.
Shut your mouth.
We haven't had any tonight, so when's Toy Fair discussion? That's a good question. That could be next week, depending on what we see, Kevin. That's a good point. I mean, we saw a lot of stuff announced today. There will most likely be stuff announced, so We'll probably talk about some things next week. I don't think it's going to be a huge volume, but if it is, then maybe there will be a reason to have a separate podcast to talk about it.
Possibly.
We'll see. Yeah. All right. That's going to do it for us tonight. Any final comments, GT, before we wrap things up?
I'm beat. I want to go to bed.
Sounds good. I'm right there with you.
I'll see you tomorrow night.
All right. Remember, check out the Discord. That's where we put the polls for game nights if you want to participate. And again, only vote if you plan on participating. And if there's enough votes and if there's enough interest, we'll try to do a split lobby so we can accommodate as many people as possible. With that said, thanks everyone for tuning in. And we'll catch you guys either tomorrow on the game night, on one of our other live streams, or next week right here on the podcast. Until then, keep on fragging them trucks.